No disrespect to you, Ted, but if there's something better on a Tuesday than a TED Talk to break down the Patriots game,
question.
It's on the line right now. We go to the guest line to talk to former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer about that Patriots 16-3 win. Brian, how are we doing this week?
What's up, Brian?
I'm great. I mean, I'm happy I'm still calling in, and we're talking about a team that's going on in the playoffs. It's a win, and man, I was fortunate enough to be there in that stadium on Sunday night, and that place was rocking. I was saying there was almost an excitement that you don't know how good you have it till it's gone. And I think people were just so excited to be back hosting a playoff game. And when Hunter Henry caught that touchdown pass, I felt that stadium rocking.
So Brian, let's start. I actually want to start with something that's become a story. Robert Spillane said it post game, talking to some Chargers. Those guys said on offense, they didn't know what coverage we were in 80% of the time. And then Dan Orlovsky tweeted about it. He was said the same thing. He had no idea what the Patriots were doing in terms of coverage. What did you see? You're a quarterback. That's how you made your living, right? Breaking down defenses and coverages. What were they throwing at him? How did they make that happen?
I mean, they were spinning the dial. And after I saw those comments, I wanted to challenge myself. So I threw on the All-22. And they were not reinventing the wheel. They just kept it spinning. And so one play would be blitz zero, and the next play would be zone and be a non-traditional Tampa 2. And they just kept the wheel spinning. And I think that's what they were having a hard time with the Chargers. They're having a hard time diagnosing it. And I thought Zach Kuhr and that defensive staff came up with a tremendous plan. And then the players just went out and executed it. And there was blitz, and there was three-man rush. And so it was almost like, let's throw the entire kitchen sink at these guys, which is a great plan until you have to make sure you're all tied together on the calls and all of those things. But look, they didn't go out there and invent like some new defense. I thought they did a tremendous job executing it. But when I threw on the film, it wasn't anything where I was like scratching my head being like, man, I've never seen this before.
I love talking defense, but I want to get to the offensive side. That's your expertise. And I'm just curious. First off, I want to ask you what you would give for a grade to Drake May, and then just kind of break down the good and the bad in his game from the other night, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, look, he even said it after the game, it's not my best. But when I went back and watched the film, you know, Ted, it's never as bad as you think. It's never as good as you
always
think.
Always.
And honestly, honestly, other than the strip sack, both of them, like even the interception, and this is coming from a quarterback, like I hate when those tipped interceptions get thrown on our stat sheet, because it's one of those things where, and you know, Bill used to tell us, like, you can't throw it through them. And that was the most obvious statement you could give us. But those things pop up so quick, and he's trying to get to the check down. He's going to the right place. And once again, as I watched the film, there was very few, if any, where I saw like you would mark like bad read. I thought he went to the right place all night. He used his legs when he needed to and really got them out of some sticky situations. And ultimately, the first strip sack, look, you're in field goal range, and I think he can sense people around him. And I get it. He's a big, strong guy, and he can make some of those plays. Sometimes you just got to eat it and go down with the football. The second one at the end of the game, and he got away with it earlier in the game where he held it a little bit on quick game, right? The long pass to Mondre out of the backed-up situation. That's a quick game, and they kind of brought this safety blitz. He got him into the right play. The coverage behind it was a little funky, and he was able to get to the check down. I would say this week you're going to go against this Texans team. There's no way you can hold the ball on three-step. Your tackles are cutting. He gets blasted from both edges. That's something that he's going to have to say this week. All right, if I get a quick step called in my helmet and it's not there, either I dirt it at the receiver's feet, or if I can get it to the back and he's there, I get it to him.
Hold on real quick, Brian. You got to give him a grade. I gave him a higher grade than most. I gave him a B+ because of all that. What'd you give him?
I mean, if we're talking about his not his best game and he accounted for 320 yards and a touchdown, I get it, the fumbles. I don't really give the interception. I don't put that on him. Okay. I'm going to give him I'll agree with you, Ted, B+. I mean, he's playing winning football. And the thing to me, and this is what we've seen with Drake over and over and over again, even if there's some bad plays, he just keeps chipping away, keeps chipping away. And that throw to Hunter Henry over Derwin James, who's one of the lengthier safeties in the league, more athletic safeties in the league, that was, to me, one of his best throws of the year. He was kind of sliding to his left. Henderson had a great blitz pickup. That's winning playoff football right there.
Brian, I'm curious where you come down on the play. I thought Josh called a great game. I was very proud and happy to see Drake several times take the checkdowns when they were available to him, because a quick flick to Ramondre can turn into a 48-yard backbreaker after the Chargers fail on fourth and goal.
That's right.
But the play call, the double reverse option where Chisholm threw to Drake, did you think that was too much? Was that a little too cute? Because it was open. It was there. Like, they just didn't execute. But what did you think of that play call?
Not at all. And knowing, having been in the meetings and been in this offense, that play call is only for a certain look. So if you go back and look, they actually alert to that play. They get in that play based on the defensive look. It's a man coverage, which we all know no one's accounting for the quarterback. And so it got a little pushed back where Chisholm was. And man, if it doesn't get disrupted on the front side and he gets a clean pitch and he's ready to throw it, I think it's a touchdown. And so it doesn't, you know, show up that way in the books. But it's the right play call for the right coverage. They just got to have a better job of executing it. And if anything, you know what it does to the Texans this week? We have to be alert to trick plays. Yep. So what are they going over? They're combing through all the trick plays that's ever been called in the Josh McDaniels system, and that's taking time away from practicing the normal stuff. So I thought it was a great call, especially because Josh is never calling those plays and just letting them ride. He's only going to call them in the perfect scenario.
Former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer here with WEEI Afternoons. So, Brian, looking ahead, and you touched on it a little bit, but looking ahead, the matchup is the one that a lot of people said, I really don't want to see the Texans defense. Well, you're getting them, and you're coming off not the best game for Will Campbell and Jared Wilson, that offensive line. How do you approach that? As a quarterback, if you were the offensive coordinator, do you have to almost accept, like, listen, we can't hang with them. We can't just block them. Is this a scheme/game plan game for Josh McDaniels to figure out a way to not get his offensive line embarrassed?
Yeah, I think this is the benefit of having a guy who's basically seen every scenario. And it kind of, I wasn't here for this game, but this game was like legendary when we would go up against a great defense and it would always be referenced in the quarterback room, is that Super Bowl against Seattle back in 14 against that legendary defense where they didn't have to blitz at all because they had the pressure up front. And it would just be shown, like, as an example of when I call a quick drop back play, it's got to be 1-2-3 ball. It's got to be, this is what the pre-snap read is. Confirm it as the ball is being snapped. The ball's coming out. And I think that's a conversation that Drake and Josh will have all week long. If I'm calling a certain play, you have to understand the why of it. But I think Josh will do a good job. One of the best ways to slow down a pass rush is try to get the run game going. And I think the different variety of runs, whether it's gap scheme, whether it's zone, whether it's power plays, you know, you mix that up, try to wear those guys down. And early in the game, the ball's just got to come out quick. It's almost got to be one of those where the Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter are meeting back there and the ball's getting out and they're frustrated and they got to go do it again and then do it again. And ultimately too, I would say this, we saw last night, CJ Stroud turned it over. Let them be the ones to make the mistakes offensively. Let them turn the ball over. I think if this is a game, and it could be frustrating, but you have to understand the defense you're going against. If you end every drive with a kick, as cliche as that sounds, whether it's a punt, a field goal, an extra point, and if you have to win another game in a gritty fashion, 17-14 or 17-10, just because you didn't make the mistake and they did, I think that's what you got to do to move on to be able to play in the AFC Championship game.
It's almost like, Brian, kind of like the old game plans when they would play J.J. Watt in the Texans. You know, Tom Brady, I mean, I don't think J.J. Watt ever sacked Tom Brady because the ball came out so fast. Similar to that, yeah?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, look, that's got to be a mentality. And now you don't want to take away that aggressiveness. So I could see what would happen is just similarly when you play Cleveland this year and Miles Garrett's out there.
Right.
What do? They wait until he's out of the game to take that shot to Booty, right? Yep. Like there's a little part of that call sheet that says, you know, one of those guys is out of the game. If there's a time to take a chance, that's when the time's going to occur. There'll be a lot of slams and chips, and you'll see the backs, you know, hitting those guys on their way out. I'm sure the tight ends will be involved. I'm sure there might be some toss cracks. I think when you're going against a defense like this, you want to hit them from every which way to Sunday, and you want to let those edge guys know, like, we know you're there. We're going to make sure we handle you early in the game so you don't even think you have a chance of impacting this game.
Brian, what do you think is going on with C.J. Stroud? Speaking of quarterback play, like, it seems like it's very uneven. Like, he's very inconsistent. Has he regressed? Is it just, you know, a product of the weaponry around him? What do you think's going on?
Well, I think, you know, a few things, right? A new offensive coordinator, which Nick Caley, obviously a longtime Patriot, goes and learns under Sean McVay out in L.A., and I think he's kind of you know, coaching a system and running a system for the first time and melding some of those things together, which I think is a great philosophy. But, you know, you got to work through that. Then he misses three games due to a concussion. And I actually thought him sitting there and watching Davis Mills and the way Davis Mills operated that offense actually allowed him to have a different view of it and come back and operate. But like you said, last night you turned the ball over. You really put your team at a disadvantage. Now he's lucky that he has the elite defense that he has. And it really, you know, you look at the score and you're like, man, they killed him. But really, they scored defensively twice. So it's just one of those things where you got to look at him and say, is he able to take that next step, right? He's gone to the playoffs each and every year. D'Amico Ryans has done a tremendous job once he's paired up with C.J. Stroud. But what does it take to be the next level of quarterback? And ultimately, it's consistency. So like you said, one game, it's lights out. The next game, it's not so great. And so which quarterback is going to show up? And I would say with the amount of pressure that the Patriots defense was able to put on Justin Herbert, I mean, I felt bad for the guy. I don't know how he was getting back up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would think that they're going to try to use the same philosophy against C.J. Stroud and see if they can force him into some bad decisions.
So when you look around the league, I'm kind of going through my head here. We're talking about mistakes by May and C.J. Stroud. You watched last night the defensive turnovers. That's a Hall of Famer, right? One of the all-time greats. Yep. And Aaron Rodgers. There were a lot of either mistakes made by quarterbacks or great plays made by defenses over this weekend of wild card football. Which is it? Is it really hard to play quarterback in the postseason? Were those mistakes? Or do you think we have a little postseason here that maybe the story might be all the defenses?
Well, there's some great defenses left. That's the one thing I'm looking at, you know, the mountain, so to speak, that the Patriots may have to climb. And I think you're going to play a top three. I don't know where the rankings are, but I would put the Houston Texans, if not first, in the top three. And then you look at the potential of if Denver wins and you win, now you're going to go against another top three defense. And I think Seattle, as long as Sam Darnold, like you said, he's not the one making those mistakes. I think the Seahawks make it to the Super Bowl. So you're looking, and I don't want to get too far ahead, you're looking at Houston, Denver, and potentially Seattle, the defenses you're going to go against. And those are just, I mean, we've always said defense wins championships, right? That's a cliche for a reason. But I think, like you said, ultimately, if you're the quarterback, how do you eliminate the mistakes? How do you not put the ball in their hands? And I think at this point of the year, you'll always give your team a shot to win if you're protecting the football. Now, you can't be, just checking it down and not taking any risks. And I think Drake did a tremendous job with that the other night. A few of the, you know, shots down the field, whether it was to Booty or even Chisholm, I mean, the fact they kind of played a non-traditional Tampa 2 on that play, and he sees it right away and hits Chisholm up the sideline. Like, he is seeing defense so well, and that's what I said. Like, he does get a B+ because he didn't go to the wrong area with the ball. It just, he held it a little long on two plays, and a ball got batted up in the air. So I think he'll improve rapidly like he always does, and I think it's going to come down, as it always does, is who controls the football better.
I just want to go put this, you know, the Chargers game to bed just with one more last question. And just your thoughts on Justin Herbert. I go back and forth with him. When I watched the tape again, I did see guys open, Brian, and I just on the play in which he got just crunched and spit the seed there. He had a guy wide open on the backside. What do you think of his game? And is he a little overrated? What do you think of Justin Herbert?
Yeah, I've always liked him. I remember going back, I think it was either his rookie year or his first year. I can't remember. We're going to play him. And Bill Belichick, who usually doesn't give a lot of people a lot of praise. I mean, he had like a 30-minute tape on this guy and was basically calling him the next Dan Marino. And statistically, if you look at it, there's not many that compare, you know, to what he's done in the early part of his career. But Ted, as you know, like when you get just beat up week after week, that internal clock in your head starts to go off a little bit faster and a little bit faster, and you're not trusting the protection. So I agree with you. There was times where maybe the Patriots brought a blitz and it's like, all right, I got to get rid of the ball, but now I'm going to hold on to it because I know I'm going to get sacked. And I think you saw that from him this year. Now, I give him credit for getting back up again and again and again. I mean, guy is out there playing with a broken hand that he had surgery on a few weeks ago. But until they figure out a way to protect him, and also, you know, they didn't really have much of a running game. So it's all on his shoulders. There's no protection. The Patriots defense is throwing the kitchen sink at him. It becomes very tough. And I think Andy, I think your question was, is it bad quarterback play or just good defensive play? I think in the postseason, everything just gets magnified. So if you have a mistake in the regular season, the game stakes aren't as high. Yeah, you're going to point it out, but there's another week coming. Now, every mistake you make is so magnified and is so important to the way the game is going to go. And that's what we were able to see with a lot of these games this past weekend.
Brian, I want to get to this weekend real quick. Not going over all the games, but just one in specific. 4:30 Saturday, A Mile High in the Football Sky, Bills at Broncos. Are you rooting for, I think a lot of Pats fans would probably rather, if they win Sunday, host the Bills as opposed to have to travel to that cursed snake pit out in Denver. are you rooting for Josh, and do you think he can Superman cape it up against that Broncos defense?
I mean, God, if they can patch him together and keep him healthy for four quarters and he can play the way he played the other day, I don't know if they have enough firepower. I don't know. I do think his abilities and stressing that Denver defense gives him an advantage. And also, I would say you don't know what Bo Nix is going to show up. Like we just talked about C.J. Stroud. Is Bo Nix going to show up who throws four touchdowns and protects the football, or is he going to give the Bills more opportunities? And the reason I'm rooting for the Bills, so I am in that crowd. One, I do love Josh Allen. I think he's a great player. But two, how great would it be to have them come here in the AFC Championship game and just break their hearts and just make them feel like your window was there, you had it, and now it's come and gone because here are the Patriots, and they're going to beat you in the AFC Championship game to reclaim the AFC East.
Brian, before we get to your prediction for the game, I do need to ask you, fact or fiction, Super Bowl 53, you're the reason the Patriots won.
Good call, Andy.
Fiction.
No, fact!
Fact.
No. Those guys, like, the one thing is hard when you're the backup quarterback because you're the one guy who doesn't step on the field, right? Even the other guys, like special teams, all of those things. But I took a lot of pride that week in preparing our defense and having been in that West Coast system and having meetings, whether it was with the McCourties or with Ernie and Bill and Beef Low, and just kind of giving them as much insight as I could. And to see that performance out there, it was just incredible. And one of the coolest things was Devin and Jason, I think after the fact, did an interview and really credited, you know, the work that I had put in that week. And so, you know, you're a part of the team, but you don't step on the field. But for them to recognize that will always go down as a special moment for me in that Super Bowl.
He's the reason.
You specifically saw the interaction between McVay and Goff and the clock and the cutoff of the headset, right? Basically everything on defense, the whole game plan was because you came up with that, right?
I mean, look, I think the story goes, I was sitting there and it's Tuesday. You have to have an off day. I'm sitting there in Atlanta and I'm just scrolling through and I saw this docuseries that the Rams had done that year. It was kind of like a Hard Knocks, but internally. And a lot of the terminology, I was like, well, I know that play. I know that formation. I know that. I'm like, this is the same offense that I ran in San Francisco. So I felt very confident in what my knowledge of what they were going to do was. And so when I was with Kyle Shanahan, a lot of times he would get into formation, get to the ball, see the defense, and then call the play in. Well, you know, it cuts off at 15 seconds. So if you change after that, you know, now all of a sudden they called the wrong play into the wrong coverage. Mm-hmm. But look, those guys went out and executed and did it. It was a phenomenal game defensively.
Now, I disagree. We need to re-edit the Dynasty documentary. That episode, it's not about Bill. He didn't have a resurgence of his genius. It's Brian
Hoyer.
It wasn't
the Matt Patricia game plan against the Lions that he cribbed from. And it was Hoyer. It was you who told McCourty to get back and knock that ball out of Brandon Cook's hands, right?
Oh yeah, I yelled from the sideline, "Get back!"
All right,
prediction.
Yeah, we need a prediction for Sunday. It's a great pass rush, great defense, and Patriots team that is playing good football, advancing. Who's going to win?
I'm going to go 24-17. It's a close one. I think Drake May protects the football and allows them to score a little bit more. I think C.J. Stroud gives us a turnover or two. And I know this, the crowd is going to be a factor. Anybody who's going to be there needs to be loud, make them over-communicate, make them so they can't hear themselves. I go 24-17, Patriots advance. And I'll give you another prediction. They play the Bills at home for the AFC championship.
Ted Johnson actually predicted that AFC title game, but in Buffalo earlier in the season. Okay. So he got it a little bit wrong. I like this better. I'd rather see Josh Allen at Gillette Stadium. So 24-17 Patriots over the Texans from your lips to the football gods' ears. Brian, and congrats again on winning that Super Bowl for New England. We needed
Great job, buddy.
We'll talk to you next week, Brian.
Thanks, bud.
All right, guys. See ya.
See ya, buddy.
Former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer here on WEEI.
Somewhere between 8 and 11 games.
Well, I was going to bust his balls, but he landed the plane. At first, he said, I'm going to go with 24-17, and he didn't actually say Patriots, and I thought he was giving himself the out, just picking a score, but then he did say Patriots later. So Brian Hoyer picking the Patriots to win and then picking the upset out in Denver so that the AFC Championship would be at Gillette Stadium. Ooh, that'd be fun. Coming up next here, we'll react to a couple things that he said. Most importantly, the way they're going to handle that pass rush, Josh McDaniels, the things they can do. That's all next here on WEEI Afternoons.